We shall now turn to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6. Revelation 1 verse 6. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. So this is telling us that Christ has made you and me into a priest. And that's wonderful teaching. It was one of the great discoveries of Martin Luther at the time of the Reformation, the priesthood of all believers. You remember that the medieval church and the Roman Catholic Church of today, they believed in the priesthood as those to whom you had to go in order to approach God. The priests were ordained. They were set apart. And if you wanted to come to God, you had to go to the priest. You went to the priest and you confessed your sin. You went to the priest and you paid him money, and he would say masses for you, and he would make reconciliation between you and God. So the priest was the one to whom you approached God, and the priest would then speak on God's behalf and say to you, go in peace, your sins are forgiven you. And so the priesthood were quite different from the laity, and they were the ones who approached into the presence of God. Now, that was the situation, of course, in the Old Testament. There we read about Aaron and the sons of Aaron. They were the priests in the Old Testament. And you still get the priestly families today. The name Kohen, Kohen is the Hebrew for priest. And there are many Jews who have this surname Kohen, so they would be of descendants of Aaron. Now, in the Old Testament, you see, God had appointed these men, and they were mediators between God and his people. So the Israelite who had sinned, he would come to the priest with his offering, and he would lay his hands upon the head of the animal, and he would confess the sins before the priest, and then the priest would take the animal and kill it and make atonement for him, and then would say to him, go in peace, your sins have been forgiven you. The priest was the one who prayed to God for the people. The priest was the one who on the Day of Atonement went into the Holy of Holies to make atonement for the whole congregation of Israel. But then something happened, you see, when Christ came, particularly when Christ died on the cross. The veil of the temple was torn from the top right down to the bottom. And so the way of access was open into the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies was the place where God's presence particularly was, seated upon the mercy seat above the Ark of the Covenant. God was there. And God's presence was barred from the Israelites. Only the high priest could go in there. Once a year, first on that Day of Atonement, he would offer a bullock, and then he would take the blood of the bullock and he would go into the Holy of Holies in beyond the veil, and he would sprinkle the blood of the bullock toward the mercy seat, making atonement for his own sin. So first of all, he had to deal with his own sin, because every Old Testament priest was a sinner. And then, having dealt with his own sin, he would come out and he would take one of the two goats, kids of the goats, and he would lay his hand upon the head of the goat and confess the sin of Israel, and then he would kill the goat and he would take the blood of that goat, and he would go in again that same day into the Holy of Holies to make atonement for the sins of Israel. The other priests weren't allowed to go in. And even Aaron himself was only allowed to go in once a year. But when Jesus died on the cross, the way was opened, the way of access. The veil was rent, and you and I can come with boldness to a throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So something wonderful happened when Christ died. Christ brought an end to the Aaronic priesthood, because he was the great Aaron. He was the great priest, and he was the one who offered up the mighty sacrifice, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And having offered that sacrifice, he took his own blood, and he went into the Holy of Holies, not in some earthly sanctuary, but into heaven itself, and sprinkled his own blood upon the mercy seat of God there. And he is there still, making intercession for us, an atonement. The atonement has been completed, but the intercession continues. And having this great high priest in heaven, we don't need any other priests. The way is open. The veil has been torn down. We can come, even ourselves, even we ordinary Israelites, we can come into the presence of God, and we can draw near in full assurance, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And we can present our requests before God. We have a high priest, but we have no other priests. We are priests. And here we see that truth brought before us. Peter speaks about it, 1 Peter 2:9. He speaks about a royal priesthood, kingly priest. You are a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him that hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are priests. And here we have it, verse 6. Unto him, verse 5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests and royal priests unto God and his Father. You are priests unto God. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So you're a priest. It's important to remember that. Priests and priestesses unto God, every one of us. So the teaching of the Roman Catholics is wrong when they say that you have to come to an earthly priest. That's wrong. And the teaching of the Church of England, the High Church, that talks of men as priests, special priests, is wrong. We're all priests. The minister is a priest. And the elder is a priest, and the member is a priest, and every child of God, male or female, is a priest. Well, first of all then tonight, what does it mean to be a priest? Well, it means that you can approach God. And you must approach God. And you've got this office bestowed upon you to deal with God. To approach God on behalf of others, and to come from God with his message to others. As sinners, how can we approach? We can come only with the blood. But the blood has been shed. So we're not coming with the blood of sacrifices such as bullocks and goats. But we're coming with the blood of Jesus. Not that that blood is shed anew. It was shed once. By his once offering up of himself, he hath forever perfected them that are sanctified. So we come for Jesus' sake. We come in Jesus' name. We come with his blood, dependent upon it. and we plead his merits. We, as it were, sprinkle his blood towards the throne of God. That blood which speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. Cain came without blood, with a firstborn of the flock. And he came with the fruits of the field, and he was rejected. Abel came with a firstling of the flock, and he was accepted. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice, because by faith he understood that he needed blood, he needed a Saviour, and he needed Jesus Christ. And so we must come and deal with God, but we must come with blood. So we can approach God, and we must approach God. And secondly, we must make offerings to God. In the Old Testament, the offerings were animals offered to God. Now, we are not to offer animals because Christ offered the sacrifice and he's the Lamb of God. But what then are we to offer? Well, we're to offer the fruit of our lips. Hosea speaks of the calves of our lips. The offerings of thankfulness. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God for his providence, his provision for us daily. Thanks be unto God for forgiveness of sin. Thanks be unto God for the Holy Spirit. Thanks be unto God for saving grace. Thanks be unto God for perseverance. How many things we have to give thanks for. And we come with thank offerings to God. Thank offerings. And we come too with praise to God for who he is, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. The triune God, the Alpha and Omega, our Father who is in heaven, mighty and powerful, loving and gracious. We come with the sacrifices of worship, giving thanks to his name. Singing praise to God, singing psalms of praise to him, we come with the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to God. And then another sacrifice is our bodies. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. Offering our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is our reasonable service. Giving your body and your life, your all to him. Giving yourselves to him. Lord, here I am. Send me. Here I am. Take me. Here I am. Show me what you would have me to do. Here I am, Lord. I'm at your disposal. Lord, I'm yours. What wilt thou have me to do? I'm your servant. So we come and we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to him. We're also to offer tithes and offerings to God. In the second epistle to the Corinthians, in chapter 8, verse 5, we're told about the Macedonians, how they first offered themselves and then they offered their substance. So they gave themselves first and then they gave of what they had for the use of the church in relieving the needs of the poor. The tithes and offerings laying by as the Lord has prospered the first day of the week and giving to his cause. So we offer our tithes to God. And we offer our time to God. He asks of us one day in seven. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, but you are to spend it in the public and private exercises of worship. Giving our tithe, the tithe of our time, as well as the tithe of our money to God. So what does it mean to be a priest? It means that we approach God, making our offerings, bloodless offerings, of thanksgiving, of praise, our bodies a living sacrifice, our tithes and our time. But then there's another part to the priest's work, and that is intercession. Aaron had a role in pleading and praying for the people, in praying that their sins would be forgiven, and in praying that God would bless them, that the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. That was the Aaronic benediction. And Aaron, it's in the form of a prayer. And Aaron was to pray and to seek God. You remember how Moses interceded for Israel and stood in the breach, as it were. And in that sense, he was acting like a priest. And how Samuel, although he wasn't technically a priest, he too pleaded for Israel. And of course, come to the greatest priest of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have in John 17 this great high priestly prayer, praying for his people, that God would make them one, and that God would sanctify them through the truth, and bless them and prosper them and bring in those who were not yet brought in. And Jesus, of course, having ascended up to heaven and entered into the Holy of Holies above, he is there making continual intercession for us. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. An advocate. And he maketh intercession for us. So, intercession is a part of priestly work. And then the priests had a role in bringing a word, the word from God, to the people. Their office was different from the priestly office. The priestly office, they were spokesmen from God, and God inspired them, and they spoke forth the word of God. But the priests, they were to teach God's law, and teach the gospel, and teach the truths that had been revealed. So the prophets were the ones who were revealing the truth, and then the priests were the ones who were taking the scriptures and bringing that before the people and teaching the people the ways of God and what God required of them. And so we find perhaps a little bit of an exception in the case of Caiaphas, who, when he was high priest, he said, "It is expedient that one man should die for the people." And this he said, being high priest that year. It was a revelation of the truth, that one man, Jesus Christ, should die for the nation, should die for all God's people. So then, a priestly work of sacrifices, of prayer and intercession, and of also speaking God's word, and witnessing to that truth. And then, secondly, for whom are you and I to be priests? Who are we to be priests for? Well, first of all, we're to be a priest for ourselves. And it's very important to pray for ourselves. And to remember, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We don't have to go to any other human being to be saved. We don't have to have dealings with anyone else. We don't have to have dealings even with the church. The Pope, even the present Pope, is trying to be so friendly to everyone, and a common Jesuit and that. He's trying to make the Roman Catholic teaching suit everybody. Even he has been saying that there's no salvation outside of the church of Rome. It's as you listen to the church that you are saved. But no, salvation is not through the church, and it's not through priests, and it's not through institutions. Salvation is through the Lord alone. God's word coming to the Lord, and it's a dealing between you and your God. And it's got to be between you and your God. A church cannot save you. A priest cannot save you. A parent cannot save a child. It's you and your God. You are a priest, and you are to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And then, having been saved, you are to go on calling upon the name of the Lord for everything that you need, for your own growth and grace and increase in assurance and usefulness in the kingdom, for your own faithfulness. Pray for yourself. But also, secondly, you're a priest unto your family. Now, a man in a household is particularly the head of the home, the father. He is to be a priest to the family and leading the family in family worship and in prayer. But then, some situations, there is no father, maybe a widow or somebody whose husband has left her, or somebody where the husband is unconverted. And in that situation, the wife has to act as the priest for the home. And again, the importance of seeking God's blessing upon the home and each member of it, and seeking to teach the law and the gospel within the home. We are to be priests for our relatives. Just this morning I was reading an article addressed to grandparents. It's in that new Bible that Joel Beakey has brought out, the King James Version. But there's a chapter there addressed to grandparents, and I thought it was quite striking, the words that are spoken there of the importance of grandparents caring for their grandchildren, praying for their grandchildren, being a priest to their grandchildren. We sometimes tend to think, well, once we've brought up our own children, well, that's it. And grandchildren are the responsibility of their own parents. But no, we have a continuing responsibility. And it's interesting how the Lord shows mercy unto the third and fourth generation of them that love him and keep his commandments. And we are to have that concern for our children and our children's children. And we are to be, in that sense, priests to them, and priests to our relatives, priests to friends, priests to neighbours, priests to workmates, in the sense of interceding for them. As a congregation, we all need to be priests within the congregation, not just the minister. Yes, the minister has a duty to give himself to the ministry of the word and of prayer. But so is everybody else. We're all priests together, and we must all be praying for the church, priests for the nation. We think of how Samuel and Nehemiah and Ezra and Daniel and Jeremiah and these great men, days gone by, how they prayed for Israel, for the nation. And we're told to pray for kings and for those who are in authority and all who are set over us. We should be praying indeed for our Queen and our Prime Minister, our First Minister in Scotland, and all in authority and in power, that we might lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. Praying for their salvation and for the salvation of our nation. Praying also for our generation. In a day when there's so many tragedies, terrible tragedies taking place, and accidents, and war, and violence, and multitudes being rushed into eternity, such cruelty and barbarity all across the world, how we should be praying for our generation. Praying for the conversion of the Jews too. The unconverted Jews cannot pray for themselves, but the conversion of the Jews will bring great blessing to the other nations. Let us be sure we pray for the Jews and for the overthrow of Antichrist, for the coming age of blessing, and also praying for the second coming of Christ. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." The Spirit of God through His Bride, the Church, saying, "Come quickly." Do you think of yourself as a priest? You should. So should I. Challenge yourself over this. We're coming to the end of 1 year, soon to begin a new year. Remember, you've got a priestly office. Seek more and more to be a priest of God. A priest in interceding, in offering up sacrifices of praise and worship and adoration, and bringing God's word to a needy world.